is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the...
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Crystals for the Soul with Linda Perry. Linda has worked with crystals for over 20 years and has a wealth of knowledge on how to use them to support our spiritual journey. She brings her deep knowledge and powerful intuition to her coaching sessions, classes, and her crystal store. Please welcome Linda Perry. Back to News for the Soul.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are and what time you are listening to the show. Just wanted to welcome you and say happy spring. And spring always brings feelings of new beginnings and a bit more freedom and wanting to get out. But it also brings that feeling of let's clear things out. So spring cleaning. And I've been doing some of that around my home. And it always gives you that feeling of lightness and expansion as well. So almost like you're getting rid of anything that's either holding you back or is, has heavy energy or that's been kind of hanging around that you haven't used at all. But while we do this, we clean our homes, we start getting out into our yards when it's nicer, and renewing our outdoor space. Our crystals need that as well. So I know I've gone over it before, but it's been quite a while since I've done that. And I thought I would talk about that again, about cleansing our crystals and why do we want or need to do this. So part of what crystals do is they absorb energy, they absorb negativity, and when we work with them, they absorb what we release as well. So by cleansing them, then what you're doing is helping them to release any energy that they have absorbed and to get back to their original state. So even crystals just sitting in your home or your office or healing space, ones that you really haven't been working with intentionally, they need periodic cleaning as well. It's even more important to cleanse the crystals that you have been working directly with, either for yourself or on others. Because what you don't want to happen is to have worked with them, they absorb what you're releasing or any negativity that might be around you or in your space, somebody has brought in, whatever, and then keep working with it and it ends up putting it right back into you or your space. So by cleansing them, you allow them to get rid of that space, that energy, and you can continue working with them. And it's also very, very important that anybody working with crystals on or with other people, this must be done in between working on one person and starting to work on another. So if you are working in a healing modality with crystals, it's very, very important to do that. And you might want to have then more than one set of crystals that you use all the time. Now, how do you know when your crystals need cleansing? There's different ways. If you've been working with them for yourself, probably once a week is really good, unless what you're working on is something that's quite heavy, or if you're working with a heavier illness, maybe, you would want to do it every day. If you've been working with them for others, like I said previously, they need cleansing after every session. If they've just been sitting in your home, your office, or your healing space, or even in your car, cleansing them 2 to 4 times a year is probably a good idea. However, if they start feeling sticky, and it's a good idea to go around and feel your crystals. How do they feel? Do they feel nice and clean, or do they feel a bit sticky, as if a little child with sticky fingers has been touching them? That says that they have absorbed a lot of energy, and it's now starting to spill out because they can't hold anymore, and you get that sticky feeling. So they really, really need cleansing then. Some ways of cleansing crystals use water, and I've broken methods into being able to use water and other methods with not using water. Now, not all crystals can go in water. Most can, but not all can go in water, which is why we have different methods, some with water, some without. So some crystals, as selenite, will dissolve in water. So one of the non-water methods must be used. Halite and hanksite are salt crystals. So what does salt do? It absorbs in, or it dissolves in water. I had a nice piece of hanksite in my jeans pocket a few years ago that I was working with, and I forgot about it, and I washed my jeans. And in the bottom, there was this little thing, and I thought, what is this? And my hanksite had dissolved that it was only a quarter of the size of what it originally was. So it definitely does dissolve. Selenite, when it absorbs water, starts to look a bit grayish. It will dissolve over time if you keep doing it with water. Sometimes it depends. Just water would be okay for opals, but some liquids are not good for them. And I had an opal ring one time, and I was in Halifax, and I went for a lobster dinner with a friend, and I don't know if it was the soap I used to wash my hands afterwards or if it was the liquid from... You get a bit of liquid or whatever when you're breaking open lobsters. But my opal ring lost its color, and I had to put it in. What I put it in was rice. I buried it in rice, and I left it there for probably about 3 days, and it helped to absorb whatever liquid was absorbed into the ring, into the opal, and it has since come back to what it originally looked like and felt like. Now, any anhydrites, which include angelite, shouldn't go in water either, but a rule of thumb is if you are at all unsure of whether you should use water or not, use a method without water, such as smudging. That works. A lot of people will say that selenite never needs cleansing, and I have seen at least 2 occasions in my store where people have used selenite, have just picked it up, and started working with it, and when they put it down, it was gray. And I had to take it out of inventory in order to cleanse it, because you can't have somebody else buy that, because you're then imparting whatever energy it picked up into other people. And that is really not a kosher thing to do, is to go into somebody's home, somebody's space, somebody's shop, and start working with crystals that are not yours. You can pick crystals up and feel them as to whether they are for you or not, and whether it is something you want to work with, but you don't start working with it right then and then put it down and leave. That is not crystal etiquette, as they say. Anyways, some water method ways of cleansing crystals are, you can just take and hold them under water, under running water, and then you just put them on a cloth to dry, and quite often what I do is when I cleanse my crystals, I take a bunch of them and I cleanse them, and then when I put them on, I get like a towel or a tea towel or something, and I place them on there, and I actually make a little grid of them when as for when they're drying, and they all sit on there in a nice little grid. And you can make an intention for that grid. It might just be to bring happiness and have them come, you know, that you're very happy that they're back to their original state, some brightness and all of that kind of thing. You could do any kind of an intention that you want with that. So holding them under running water, if you know that you're going out somewhere, say hiking, and you know that there's a little stream or a waterfall or something like that, taking some of your crystals with you, you wouldn't want to take really big ones because you don't want to take those hiking around, but maybe crystals that you quite often gravitate to most of the time, some ones you keep on you know, in your pocket or something like that, you can rinse those in a stream, and that is like pure water, right? There's it hasn't been treated, really, right? Like tap water, it's been treated, but you can still use tap water because I've used tap water as well. I've also been in Maui and actually bought crystals and went to on a little hike and went to the seven pools, and I laid, and some of that water actually formed little tiny pools in the rocks, and I laid some of my crystals in there and left them there for a little bit to cleanse, and that was really cool. So you can do things like that as well when you have it with water. You can also make a salt solution where you use 3 tablespoons to a cup of water. So 3 tablespoons of salt to a cup of water. And leave them for 7 to 24 hours, depending on how sticky they felt or how much you feel they need cleansing. You make sure that the solution covers the crystals totally. Then you want to rinse them underwater and put on a towel to dry. And you can use I said sea salt. Sea salt is the best. It's more pure. You can immerse them for a few minutes in water that has a few drops of pennyroyal flower essence in it. This is my preferred way of doing it in my home. It gives them a very deep cleanse, and they really sparkle afterwards. I do recommend this way, but it's not something you have to do. One of the places I get the pennyroyal flower essence is in the States. It's in on an island off of Washington State, and they put crystals in their fields when the flowers are growing because they distill everything to make essences and essential oils. And then once they bottle them, they put crystals around them as well. And so they're already attuned to the energy of crystals, just like we are. So I find it works really well. And you really only need 5 minutes in the water. So you can clear crystals quite quickly when you do a method like this. Then once you've cleared your crystals, occasionally what you want to do, and make sure that it is cleared crystals, cleansed crystals you put in the sun. You can put them out there for 2 to 3 hours every so often after they've been cleansed. You don't want to leave them out there for too long, especially crystals that could fade, such as any dyed crystals will fade. Fluorite will fade in the sun if you leave it in there constantly. It loses its color. Some people say amethyst does. I haven't had that happen to me, but if it was enhanced in any way, meaning if they had took the color and pumped it up or dyed it to make it look darker, that possibly could be the reason why some people have found that amethyst might fade. But I've put geodes in the sun at the store in the window. And we have an east-facing window, so we get morning sun. We don't get the heat of the sun in the afternoon. But if you leave it there for 2 weeks or a month, fluorite would start to fade. But I haven't had amethyst do that yet. Now, those were some methods that you could use that involve water. Some methods that don't use water. You can cover them in dry sea salt, but you have to leave it longer, 24 to 48 hours, I find is best. You can place them on a large cluster such as quartz or amethyst for a minimum, again, of 24 to 48 hours. And I find 48 is preferable. You probably would need 48 for amethyst, maybe 24 for quartz, depending on how much cleansing a crystal needs. You can also put it in a geode. If you've got an amethyst geode or a quartz geode, you can put your crystals inside of there. That is one way that I cleanse selenite when it needs cleansing. And that's exactly what I did with pieces, especially the one of the pieces that somebody used that was gray. And it took, pardon me, it took more than 2 weeks for that to clear. Excuse me. Let's take a bit of water. You can smudge it with sage. And how you do that is you just burn some sage and you can run the crystal through it, or you can smudge it by wafting the smoke over the crystal, especially if it's large. You don't want to be carrying a big, large crystal and trying to put that through sage, but carry the sage, burning sage over to it and waft with your hand or a feather or a smudge fan or something and waft it all over the crystal. And that helps with that. You can meditate with it and ask for white light or golden light to come through it and cleanse everything that's in it and bring it back to its original state. It's like a factory. Cleansing is like a factory reset for crystals, really, is what it is. Some people use their own breath because breath can be quite powerful. There are two thoughts on using breath for different things, even blowing the flame out when you light your sage. Some people say, no, you shouldn't do that because it is What if you're putting some of your stuff in there? But breath in the shamanic world is actually quite powerful. And using your breath is quite acceptable. So really go with what feels right to you when you're doing any breath or breath work. And you might, even before you use it, you might take in a nice deep breath through your nose and then a longer breath out through your mouth and do that, you know, two or three times. That helps to let anything go, and then you're in that mode of using and doing breath work, and you can use that with your crystals. And I find that helps. I've used and done breath work, but it can be very powerful. Blue kyanite, one of the crystals that really does never need cleansing. Some people say citrine doesn't need cleansing, but citrine is a quartz. So, yeah, it does need cleansing. It will hold energy. But blue kyanite never does, especially blue kyanite. But green kyanite will not hold it as well. So what happens is it draws things out, but it just lets it slip right off into the environment. So it's really good when you're working with crystals to make sure that you smudge and clear your space as well, and especially if you are doing any healing modalities with other people. Always smudge your space prior to a client coming. And a lot of people will do it during because they'll smudge their client and then do it after they leave as well, because that gets rid of anything that people sort of release when they're in a healing session. So blue kyanite, you could actually put crystals with your blue kyanite, but remember you're going to have to smudge or something afterwards because it doesn't absorb what that crystal you're trying to cleanse is holding. It pulls it out and lets it go. So it is letting it go into your environment. So smudge afterwards. Or do it outside. If it's a nice day, you could do it outside. And then bring your crystals back inside. And then again, you can put your crystals, your cleansed crystals, in the sun for a couple of hours and what that does, it re-energizes them. It does not clear them. And that was my next thing, is there are quite a few people out there that will say, put your crystals in the sun and the moon to cleanse them. However, what you're actually doing is charging them with the energy of the sun and the energy of the moon. The sun is stronger masculine energy, and the moon is softer feminine energy. And when you put them out there, they are being charged with the energy of either the sun or the moon. And then what you're doing is you are charging anything inside that crystal, whatever it's holding, you're charging that, so you're making it even more, say if it's holding negative energy that it has extracted either from your aura or somebody else's or your environment, you're charging that energy up to be even stronger. So that negative energy is becoming stronger. And then if you work with that, you could end up imparting that back into you or back into your environment. But if you cleanse your crystals first, then put them in the sun or the moon, then they have pure energy, and they've been purely charged with the energy of either the sun or the moon. In my experience, I have never seen or had any crystal that was cleansed by being in the sun or the moon. I've never seen that. I've never felt it. I've never had it happen around me or anything like that. I've never seen that. So this is why I say that. It is really, really good practice to cleanse your crystals first, and then what you're doing is you're starting with a fresh cleansed crystal and charging them with the moon or the sun. It's like every morning, like if you have a shower or a bath every morning, you're cleansing yourself to start a new day feeling fresh. That's what you're doing with your crystals. The other thing is, is to remember to cleanse your crystal jewelry, your bracelets, your earrings, your pendants. Remember that they are also crystals, and we probably work with those by wearing them more than any other crystal that we have in our possession. And they also pick energy up as well, so they also need cleansing. They do love the flower essence as well, and it's okay to put, if they're encased in or, set with silver, silver. I don't have gold jewelry myself, but I know people who have cleansed gold jewelry in pennyroyal flower essence, because basically you're just putting in a bowl, you're putting 3 to 5 drops kind of thing in it. You don't need to use a lot of it to help cleanse your crystals. And they come out again feeling really and looking really sparkly. The first time I showed people how to do this, they were amazed at how different the crystals looked. Prior to going into being cleansed with pennyroyal to afterwards, it was like night and day. They were really, really surprised at how different they come out. They come out looking, well, like they've just had a bath and been cleansed. They're nice and shiny and clean and clear and ready to work again. Now, smudging, I mentioned smudging, and it is a great way to cleanse on a daily basis. It's really good for yourself, for your home, for your crystals. So when you smudge your home, you are also smudging your crystals if they're out and about in your home. We smudge the store every day, which is another reason why the crystals in the shop are quite clean and clear, is because we do smudge the whole store and the cabinets every day. And it's quick, it's easy to do. It also makes you feel really good and light. And sometimes what sage can do is it is actually healing, it's purifying, it cleanses negative energies, it attracts positive energies, it's protecting and cleansing people, spaces, crystals, objects, etc. They always use it in shamanic practices, which is very common, very good. They also use Palo Santo, and in any healing modalities, they are really good. Clearing with sage is really good to help with that. But the other thing is, sage is also antibacterial and antimicrobial. So by doing that, you're also helping to clear some of that out of your space, especially if there has been heavy sickness in the home. Quite a few years ago, my stepfather ended up being diagnosed with renal cell cancer. And he was at home for all of it, and just near the end, he had to go into the hospital. And I make smudge feathers and smudge fans, and I made one for my mom. And I said to her, when smudge your home, mom, and especially smudge where he spent a lot of time, because that not only helped her and the home and dispelling some of that really heavy energy out of the home, it also helped him because he was going then back into a space that didn't have that heavy energy. So when he went to sit in the chair he always sat in, he was sitting in an area that was more cleansed. And I think that that actually helped him, and it helped him feel a little more comfortable and relaxed a little bit more as well. The other thing that you can do with sage is, just like dry sea salt, you can put your crystals in a bag of sage. You don't have to burn it, but it takes a lot longer to do that. Many years ago we had, I think I've told this story before, but many years ago we had somebody come into the store, and he made a beeline to a large aquamarine sphere we had. And the sphere was probably 3 to 4 inches wide across. He made a beeline for it, picked it up, stuck it in his jacket, and started to walk towards the door. And a friend of mine was working the store that day, and she goes, "Hey!" And he goes, "What?" And she said, "Put that back." He goes, "What?" She ran right over to him, flipped his jacket open, and grabbed the sphere, which was really brave of her to do. It freaked him out so much, he just took off and ran out. Well, we took that sphere and we wrapped it up in a bag of sage. We left it for a good month or more in the back room, and letting it clear and of any of that kind of energy. And sometimes, because that was very specific, he knew what he wanted. He came in to specifically get that. He had his eye on it, his intent. And it takes a while to rid that of a crystal. So we put it in the back for at least a month. I think it was actually more than that. Might have been a month and a half. But you can do that as well. But just know that your crystals need to stay in there longer than if you actually smudge them or use, say, that another method. You can also put it in a singing bowl, whether it's a crystal singing bowl or a Tibetan bowl, just put them in and then play the bowl. And that's a vibration, a frequency and a vibration, and that helps it to release and cleanse the crystal as well. And then you get that really nice toning that goes comes along with crystals, crystal bowls and Tibetan bowls. So those are some ways that you can cleanse your crystals. And after I do them, I don't always put them back in the same spot. It's kind of nice to put them somewhere else, and then they work their energy in different areas of your home as well. So I kind of like to do that. It's like you're actually moving the energy around in your home. You're not keeping it the same when you do that. So you take them, and then you find new places to put them. And I like to group crystals, especially in threes, but you can group them in more if you want, especially if you've got, say, a collection of generators or spheres. You can put them all together in a nice little display in your home. And you don't if you don't put them back in the same spot, then the energy is it's like good feng shui. The energy flow is different, and you'll feel that as well. So I hope that helps. And I've got some questions today from some people. Becca, right here in Alberta, where I am, she asks, she's putting together some gift bags for her wedding party and wondering what combination of crystals I can recommend for the occasion. And Becca, it's a great idea. It's a really wonderful idea to do something like that. Because in essence, what you're doing, you're not only giving the crystals away, you are giving the people you give them to the energy of those crystals and what they help with. So you can make them really intentional, and you can combine different crystals or even one crystal. So it's almost like you could curate them for the person you're giving them to. And so they can be different for each person depending on what you feel you want to gift them, what kind of energy you want to gift them. So some of the crystals I love for weddings are, top of the list is always rose quartz, because it's love, right? Giving the gift of love is, what else is better than that? The gift of love. So rose quartz would be awesome. I also like carnelian, because it's gratitude and creativity. And that's something, a crystal of gratitude could be given to each person to be grateful that they are part of your life. And it brings in that creativity energy or creative energy for them to work with, or being creative in how you interact with them and your friendship. Moonstone, it's a lot about new beginnings. So you are having a new beginning, getting married. You can give the gift of new beginnings to other people as well. Garnet or ruby is actually grounding, love, and passion. Either one or both are awesome for something like that, because weddings are about love, right? And the people who are in your wedding party are there because they love you. And so you're giving that gift of love, and you're giving them a gift of passion. Passion even being what they're passionate about in life. Doesn't always have to be sexual passion. It can be, like, I'm passionate about crystals. And it's also about grounding, staying real and being grounded. Amethyst, calming, peace, stress-free, that's a really great crystal to give as a gift. Now, citrine or green aventurine or yellow fluorite is all about abundance. But citrine and yellow fluorite are also about personal power and understanding what that is and how to work with it. That's always a really good gift. And then another one of my favorites is orange calcite, especially if it's the nice juicy orange that looks like it's just been cut out of an actual orange. It really is the juicy side of life. And when you're starting out and they're part of you starting a brand new life with your partner, with your new partner, better way to bring in that juiciness and giving them part of that as well. Amazonite is a really good gift for communication as well as healing. It's good, deep healing on a cellular level. Fluorite. Yes, fluorite is one of those ones that's all about structure. It's like structure out of chaos. But it's also about movement. It's about planning as well. But movement, because it's really good for joints and being fluid and going with the flow. The last one I put down is turquoise or imperial topaz. if you can find imperial topaz. It's a little more expensive, but turquoise might be a little bit easier to find. It's getting harder and harder, but you don't always have to have a large piece of it. This is the gift of friendship. And what an awesome thing to do. And you can do a little write-up to put a little card in and write this, the name of the stones on it and what they mean and what you're gifting them with those stones. That would be a really awesome thing to do, because then they know what the crystals are for. When my daughter got married, I can't remember how long they've been married now. Maybe 18 years or something like that. Anyway, what she did for her wedding is for everybody who came, but you don't have to do this, but it's just the idea. I also do make beaded leather bags, although I don't always have time to do that anymore. But I do beading on leather, and I make little bags. I make tarot bags, and I make little bags that you can put crystals in. She asked if I would make up little bags, and we got strings of beads. So they did have holes in them, but they were tiny because these little bags were small. And it was crystals for every one of the chakras. So everybody who came got this little hand-beaded bag with the little crystals in it that represent all seven of the main chakras, which is a gift of alignment and balance. So definite, and it, they had a little card that went with it that said what each crystal was and what they did. So it's a really personalized gift to give, and I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing with that. And the rose quartz, if you put rose quartz in every one of them, it just says from my heart to yours type of thing, right? Is that that you love them being part of your life, you love them being part of your special day and the start of a new beginning for you. So have a wonderful wedding and many happy times. The next one I have is Beverly in New York, and she asks, what crystals are best for anxiety and a deeply unsettling feeling? There's definitely crystals to help you with this, Beverly. One of the things you want to first find out is, what are the source of the feelings? Why do you feel anxious? Is there an underlying feeling or source for that? Because that's where you want to start. You can carry crystals that help you feel relaxed and calming and soothing, but eventually you're going to have to go back and find out where this all started. With the anxiety, with feeling unsettled, it's probably tied together. And I've done this myself. So there are crystals to help you start off. And one would be quartz, because it's really good for focus and it's good for clarity, because you want to be clear on what it is that's causing these feelings. Because the feeling of anxiety, the feeling of being unsettled, is a symptom. That's not a cause. So you want to go and get the source of those feelings, the source of the symptoms. And it's not always easy to do. And this is what I would suggest, is you always do it only when you feel ready to. Do not force anything in this, because you'll end up feeling more anxious and more unsettled. But when you feel ready to tackle the source of those feelings, go and do that. But in the meantime, and you can work with these crystals doing that as well. Quartz, like I said, is one. Chrysoprase, that's my top one. my absolute top one for anxiety, fears, worries, things like that. And this is a crystal I worked with. I knew what my source was. My source, I'll just quickly tell you the story, is quite a number of years ago, I've had the store now, like the store has been going now for like 24 years, and we've gone through highs and lows, right? Especially economy, highs and lows. And you always worry when you hit the low, right? When an economy tanks or, things like that. You always start worrying, is it going to survive, and things like that. So what I did was I picked up some crystal praise, and it's spelled CHRYSOPRASE. It's a really nice, soft green, and it helps with getting rid of, or helps you let go of, let's put it this way. It helps you understand and let go of those fears and worries and anxiety, because they're all kind of the same thing. And what you fear, you attract. So by being anxious and worrying, is attracting what you don't want to attract. So understanding that, sometimes it's easier to let go of them. And picking up crystal praise, what I did was I kept it in my pocket and on me every day, and I slept with it under my pillow every night. And when I was feeling anxious, when I was feeling worried and fearful and unsettled and wondering what's going to happen, I kept that crystal praise with me 24/7. And I did cleanse it on a weekly basis. and you can have more than one of the same kind of crystal, because while that one's cleansing, then what I did was I picked up another one and worked with that. So I interchanged them. And because you're not going to worry also 24/7, 365 days a year, blah, 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 right? You are going to have periods in there where you actually do let it go. Within that, there are highs and lows. And when you're feeling like you're not worrying, what I did was I put my crystal praise down and I left it. The next time I started feeling like I was worrying again, I picked it up and worked with it again. And I actually did this for a good year and a half. And as I went along, I noticed after about a year, it all of a sudden dawned to me, I'm not picking this crystal up as much. I don't feel as worried or anxious as I did when I started. And then all of a sudden, I didn't need to pick it up anymore. I didn't need to work with it. I felt really light inside because I'd really let it go. And I knew everything was going to be okay. So crystal praise, I find, is one of the best for that. It's also a stone of forgiveness. And what a lot of people don't realize, yes, we forgive other people, but what about forgiving yourself? It's okay to be worried, but you don't need to let it consume you. And you need to look at, what I'm worrying about, can I change it? If I can, then do something about it. If you can't, is this even my worry or anxiety? Am I doing this on behalf of somebody else? And if you are, you have to let go of that anxiety and worry because you can't do it for somebody else. That's their path and not yours. The next one you could work with is emerald. It gives you a deep inner knowing. It's good for anxiety. It's calming. It's soothing. And it's a crystal that helps you have patience with yourself. Again, that's a form of forgiveness. Scolasite. If you can get some scolasite, it's white. It brings in that white light. It brings deep inner peace. And it helps with your soul's purpose as well. Amethyst, one of the top calming crystals. Blue lace agate is another one. So any of those crystals you can work with. You can work with more than one if you want. You can work with quartz and another crystal, because what the quartz will do is magnify the energy of the other crystal that it's with. So you get even more of the energy of that. So working with any of those, quartz, chrysoprase, emerald, scolasite, blue lace agate, amethyst, or just a few that bring that calming, soothing energy. But those are some of my top ones that I would say would be really good. Howlite would be another one that is really good and calming. But my top go-to one for something like this is chrysoprase, for sure. But you have to feel it to make sure it's right for you. Not every crystal is right for every person. So you have to feel which one is right for you. And maybe amethyst is. It's very prolific. It's less expensive than any of the other ones besides quartz. It might help you. It might start you off, and maybe you need to go to something a little stronger after that. You might pick up some chrysoprase then as well. I hope this helps you, Beverly, and I really wish you well on this process, because I know exactly what it's like. I have one more question today, and this is Anita in Florida. And she asks, is there a crystal that can help with clarity and clear some brain fog feelings I have? Quartz, Anita, and quartz is all about focus and clarity. Well, not all about, but it has very strong focus and very strong clarity. It's a really good one to work with for that. You could add emerald to it to bring in some of that soothing energy and calming energy, because if you're anxious at all in any ways, our clarity and our minds get sort of all jumbled up and brings that brain fog as well. So you could add emerald to that. Sapphire, blue sapphire, is really excellent for clearing the mind. Green fluorite is another one that brings clarity of mind. And when you bring clarity of mind, it takes away that feeling of having brain fog. So those are some crystals that are really good for clarity and clearing that foggy feeling sometimes we get in our minds. These are some of the top ones I would say anyways. Quartz, emerald, blue sapphire, and green fluorite are really good for that. And if you get fluorite that has some purple in it as well, that's okay, as long as it's got green. Purple will actually help open up your third eye, because that also brings in our intuition, and that clears that space, because our third eye sits behind, kind of in between our eyebrows, in about halfway in between the front and back of our head and the either side. And that's where the pineal gland is, which is your third eye. And having that purple fluorite would also help clear that out and help with the brain fog type of stuff. So I hope that helps you, Anita. And we're just about out of time here today, so I thank you for sending in your questions, and I really hope that you continue to do so, because I love getting your questions. The next show is May 2nd, and I thought I would do it on some crystal shapes and how to use them. So things like generators and spheres. I might even throw in a couple of sacred geometry shapes, you know, and pyramids and things like that. How to use them, what they do and how to use them, why, what they're for, kind of a thing. If you want to learn more about crystals, you can certainly go to my website, which is soulfoodcrystals.com. I do all the write-ups for crystals on there, and any crystals I've mentioned today, all of them are on there, and you could certainly read more about them, because crystals do more than one type of thing. You can use them for more than one issue. And I also do classes once a month as well, and the classes are on there too. This next one is next Tuesday, and I'm doing them all on doing it on tektites. So things like moldavite, Libyan gold, tektite, and shintamani and agni manatite, things like that. That's going to be a really interesting one. So lots of different ways to learn about crystals, and you can certainly, I invite you to check out my website, because there's lots of information on there as well that you can get for any questions, other questions you might have or want to add to any of the crystals that I have mentioned today. So I wish you all the best, many crystal blessings, and I hope to see you May 2nd, 9 a.m. Pacific time in the North America, and many crystal blessings. Bye.